Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Now, last week in the first four verses of 16, we looked at and we shared four characteristics of the spiritually blind, who refused to see. Jesus was using the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we saw four things about them. Number one, they love spiritual darkness. Number two, they curse the light. Number three, they regress deeper into sin. And eventually, because of their hardening and their unbelief, God abandons them. Now today, we're going to look at the opposite of that. The opposite of those points are different for those who seek the light, try to find truth. And he uses the disciples here to make this illustration here. So I want to share with you four characteristics of the blind that are made to see, okay? And I say made to see because we can't see outside of the grace of God that reveals it to us, right? And let's read our text beginning in verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? See, they ain't quite got it yet, right? And then verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not know, understand, neither remember, and he's talking about feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000 in verse 9, the five loaves and of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Of course, it was 12. And then he said in verse 10, neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you take up? They took up seven. How is it that you do not understand that I spake unto you not to concerning the bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Father, I pray tonight as we open this text, open our heart about the four characteristics of the blind that can see. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the first point you see on your text. The spiritually blind who are made to see, they, number one, they seek the light. They seek the light. Look in verse 5 again, if you will. The Bible says, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Every person born into this world is afflicted with spiritual blindness because of sin. And without the work of Jesus on the cross, we will remain dead and spiritually blind forever. This is why the world can't understand us. This is why the world, they think we're crazy. They think, you know, they have no concept about these spiritual things because they're spiritually blind and they can't see them until God opens their eyes. The disciples were at a crossroad here. They could have stayed on the other side of the lake with the Pharisees and Sadducees, but they crossed over and met Jesus on the other side. They come to a point, you know, am I going to believe Jesus or am I going to believe the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And that's what every person has to come. Am I going to believe what the world is teaching me or am I going to believe what Jesus is teaching me? And we come to a fork. But they did not hesitate to follow Jesus. They crossed over the Sea of Galilee, and then by them doing that and seeking the light, they gave evidence that they wanted to find truth and get out of spiritual darkness and not remain in darkness like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so those that have their eyes opened to truth and light, and when we talk about light, we're talking about two things. We're talking about holiness and we're talking about truth. The disciples here had seeking hearts, and God honored their promise to them by bringing him to himself. All those, the Bible teaches us, everybody that responds to revelation and wants to know more, God will make a way for them to come to him, right? And that's the principle in the scriptures here. I'm reminded about Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14. I know this applies to the nation of Israel and their regathering, but there's some words in here I want you to take note of. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14. And he says, you shall seek me and find me. And that's what the disciples were doing. They were seeking truth. right? You remember what I taught you about Romans 1? God has revealed himself in creation. And as people respond to God's revelation in creation, God will send them the knowledge of Christ, right? And as they respond to that, they get saved. Every person that is seeking truth, God will send them a missionary. So people say, well, what about the heathen in the Congo or the Amazon? No, if they respond in obedience to the light they've been shown, God will send them a missionary, right? And the Bible in Romans 1 says we're without excuse. So if they never hear the gospel, they're still without excuse, right? I know that's a hard truth for us to stomach, but that's why it's necessary that we get involved in our missionary effort. And then he says in verse 14, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So this is a text talking about Israel's regathering, but it's also talking about seeking and finding. And by the way, God will reveal himself to us through creation, and he reveals himself to us through our conscience. Everybody has in their conscience, Romans chapter 1, the knowledge that there's a God. And as they respond to that, God will send them the message of the gospel to a missionary, okay? John chapter 8, verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me not, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of men. So they came to a crisis of belief in their life. Were they going to follow the scribes and the Pharisees, or were they going to cross over and go with Jesus? And they made the right decision. True believers don't love darkness. We love the light, and we seek the light. And I thank God that we have light. Amen? We have the truth, and it's revealed in the person of Jesus Christ and his word. And then the second characteristic of those who can see, those who are made to see, is they curse the darkness. Again, we see this in verse 5. By loving the light and seeking the light, the disciples, in effect, curse the darkness, right? You know, you're either serving God or you're serving the devil, right? Any man that's not with me is against me, Jesus said. And you can't be neutral when it comes to Jesus, right? You got to be whole hog in this thing and go for him, right? There's no straddling the fence in Christianity. I hear people talk about a marginal Christian or a half Christian or a borderline Christian. No, you're either a Christian or you're not, right? And so we make our colors known by following him no matter the cost. They had hearts that hungered for light and truth. That's why they crossed over, right? And so we see people, those that show that they have a hunger for light and truth, God will reveal himself to them, right? And that's the way it works, right? Our hearts, as we talk about next week, we cannot believe unless our hearts are opened by the Lord. And we'll talk about Simon Peter's confession of faith maybe next week. And he says, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood had not given this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So we can't brag, we can't boast, we can't beat our chest, because what we have has been given to us, you know. So they curse the darkness. True believers don't curse the light, we curse the darkness. And then the third characteristic of those who are made to see, that is opposite of those who are blind and refuse to see, is that they receive greater light. Now let's look in verses 6 through 10 of our text. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. They weren't quite there yet. They thought Jesus was talking about leavened bread, you know. And in other words, we don't have no bread with us. We forgot to bring it. And again, their minds were on the physical rather than the spiritual. But he wasn't talking about that. Notice verse 7, and they reasoned among themselves. See, that's the first problem when man begins to reason among ourselves, right? We need to look and see what the scripture says, right? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. Why did he say that? Because their focus was on the physical and their lack of bread. Jesus' focus was on the spiritual That's why he said, ye of little faith. He says, because you have brought no bread. Do you not understand and neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? There are commentators that say it's the same miracle. There's two different miracles. There's the one of feeding 5,000 plus their families, and the one of feeding 4,000 plus their families. So they weren't quite there yet. They were in a hurry to get away from the scribes and Sadducees, and they realized they had forgotten bread. Now I want you to think about this, what I just said a while ago. With all that's going on spiritually here, Jesus was doing, he was teaching, he was healing, miracles, and they still functioned on the physical level. And that is what many in the church are doing today. We're missing the spiritual and focusing on the physical, right? Their thoughts were not focused on the Lord's provision. You know, he had just fed the 4,000, fed the 5,000, and worked miracles and teaching, and then they were concerned about their lack of bread. You get my riff? Get my drift? Their minds were on the physical. And we still have these two groups in the church today. They function on, got some that function on the physical level with no recognition of the spiritual. Their thoughts are of the flesh rather than the spirit, and their own resources rather than the Lord's resources. God had provided for them, and now they were talking about, probably thinking in their minds, how are we going to get bread, just like they did before. Notice verse 8 and 9 again. So Jesus gives them another teachable moment. This is what Jesus is doing. He's teachable moments, you know, miracles, because he wants to teach them a spiritual truth. And he wanted to open their eyes and tell them to kind of watch out what's really important here. They were going to trust Jesus, or are they going to trust the earthly and the temporal, right? And they failed many times here. So the disciples thought Jesus was talking about bread, when in fact he was warning, giving a spiritual warning of the false teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Because Jesus says here, look, basically, by telling them about his miracles of feeding the 4,000, 5,000, he says, if I wanted to create bread, I could create bread, you know? Why are you worried about this? You know, you ought to be more concerned about the false teaching that you're fixing to come out of. And I want to say this. If Jesus was concerned, and he talked more about hell than he did heaven, if Jesus was concerned about the leaven of false teaching, then you can see why your pastor exposes and warns you about false teachers and their teaching, right? I'm just doing what Jesus did, right? And so that you can be protected and guarded and not go astray. So true believers don't regress deeper into sin. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. Here they had received light and greater light, and now they understood what Jesus was talking about the false teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then the characteristic number four of those who are made to see, opposite of those that are refused to see, they are taught by the Lord. Look in verse 11 through 12, if you will. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not unto you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Now notice verse 12. Then understood they that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the scribes and Pharisees. So they were responding. They received light, they responded to that light, and the Lord was teaching them. By God's sovereign and gracious illumination, they understood that he did not say anything about beware of leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So the desire of Jesus is to teach those who believe in him. Remember, we go out, we make disciples, we teach them to observe all that he's commanded, right? We baptize them and teach them to observe. And this is the goal. This is what discipleship is. This is what being a mentor is. We pour our life out into somebody else, teaching them what Jesus has taught. And that God will take us as deep as we want to go in his word. And he'll take us further than we ever thought we could go, if we're open to the truth, right? I remember when I first was teaching a Sunday school class at Antioch. And as I began to grow in the knowledge of His will and His word, you would have to know where God has brought me from. Is my wife in here? Okay. So she can't. She went over there with the kids, right? How many kids we got over there tonight? How many kids are over there tonight? Three. You'd have to know. I didn't know doodly about the Word of God when God began dealing with my heart, right? And where He's brought me from. And as I hunger more for His truth, He reveals Himself to me with greater light, right? And that was only in a span of about 3 years that I really grew in the knowledge of His Word. And this is what He's saying here. The Lord wants to teach us. Now, if we don't want to learn, we got a problem. We're a sick baby, right? Babies have a natural hunger, right? It's built into them when they're born. And the believer has the Holy Spirit within us. So the Spirit wants to teach us, right? And for a believer not to study their Bible and not to learn more, then we got a serious problem, right, on our hands. But God revealed to them by His sovereign, gracious illumination. And remember, I taught you that revelation is God making Himself known to us through the written word and through the word incarnate. Illumination is God, is our understanding to what God has already written. We don't have new revelation. We have illumination to what He's already given us. And if you ever studied the Bible and things like that, and all of a sudden a little light goes on in your head and you say, now I see it, right? That's the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we have the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, to illuminate us as we interpret the Word and as we study the Word and how we apply that Word. And again, I say what I said this morning, you can know the Bible by all the facts and factual and historical events, but unless you apply it to your life and the life of the others, then you've missed the point. The whole point of the Word is to conform us to the image of His Son, right? There's a lot of lost people that know more about the Bible than I do, but they don't know in a saving way. They don't embrace it, right? And so this is what He's talking about here. He wants to teach us, and He'll take us as far as we want to go and as deep as we want to go in the knowledge of His Word. So as we understand and obey the Word, God reveals deeper truth to us. You know, some of us are still caught back on milk and the elementary things. We haven't got beyond that, right? And that's the reason why God hasn't taken us into the deep water, into the meat, right? And so until we have that, God's not going to give us greater light. And we may want to know why where did Cain get his wife and all that. And we don't even obey love your neighbor, right? You see what I'm saying? And we're worried about that. So as we understand and obey the Word, God reveals deeper truth to us. And it's already there. It's nothing new. It's already in the Word of God. But it's our illumination that is lacking. Because, number one, there are some barriers in our personal life that cause us from understanding and also not applying the right principles of interpretation. So true believers are not abandoned by God, but God teaches us and continues to teach us and takes us to heaven. Do you see the difference between those who refuse to believe and then those who are seeking and trying to find truth, right? And we ought to be that way at church. We ought to be hungry. We ought to come to church with our notebooks and our Bibles, and it's okay to underline the words. It's okay to write. It's okay to take the Bible. And we ought to be seeking more and more and more about God's Word, right? And He'll give you as much as you want, right? But if you don't want any of it, we got a problem, right? Houston, we got a problem, right? When that happens here. So this is given to us tonight as we study the book of Matthew, and we'll be getting in deeper in Matthew after we come back from our venture next Sunday night, okay? We're going to be looking at our next verses in our text. No one can ever accuse Kim Burgess of preaching at him because I just preached the next text, right? It may be that you're in the next text, right? But that's what I do. I don't go after people. I did early in my ministry, but I got over that because most of those I prepared a sermon for all week that ended up not being there. So that's immature preaching right there. That's what that is. But we won't have an invitation tonight. But I just want to ask you to be in prayer for those on our prayer list. Keep your prayer list with you. Pray for these. Lift them up. And Brother John, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to turn that thing off. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that we are those that have been revealed light, truth, and that we are, by the grace of God, have been shown the way. And Father, thank you for that. Thank you for saving us out of the world. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us the Word of God that is our manual as Christians. And I thank you, Father, that the natural mind cannot understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. And thank you that we have been given that discernment through the Holy Spirit. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, we're off, John? Okay.